Welcome to the deep dive. You sent us a really fascinating challenge this time. Figuring out if DNA barcoding can actually unlock the secrets of insect biodiversity.
It's a big question for sure.
It is, and luckily we've got this 2024 research paper that throws DNA barcoding right into the ring, comparing it not only to traditional methods, but also this new kid on the block, metabarcoding.
Yeah, it's like we're giving a magnifying glass to one scientist, a regular scanner to another, and then someone else gets this super-powered scan the whole stack scanner.
I love that. But before we get lost in all the high-tech scanners, let's zoom out for a sec. We're facing a biodiversity crisis, right?
Right.
And figuring out exactly which species we have, well, that's absolutely crucial for conservation. But yeah. With traditional taxonomy, you're stuck examining tiny features under a microscope, which is crazy slow and needs a ton of expertise.
It really does. You practically need to be Sherlock Holmes to tell some of these species apart.
Seriously. And even Sherlock would struggle with certain insect groups, which is where this whole DNA barcoding thing comes in.
Exactly. Instead of squinting at antenna segments, imagine just using a tiny piece of DNA, a barcode, to instantly ID a species.
Okay, now that's what I call a game changer. And that's basically what this research paper wanted to figure out. How accurate and reliable is this whole DNA barcoding thing, especially compared to the traditional methods?
And they didn't just pick any insects for this. They focused on three very different groups. Butterflies, bumblebees, and then there's those parasitic wasps, which are notoriously hard to identify.
Oh, yeah, those parasitic wasps are a whole other story.
Exactly. Each group has its own challenges, different levels of existing knowledge, and how complete the databases are.
So it's like a real-world test for DNA barcoding, pushing it from well-known territory to the uncharted areas.
You got it.
Let's start with butterflies, those beautiful creatures. The researchers actually collected them from all over, the jungles of Vietnam and the Philippines, even the cooler spots like Sweden.
Yeah, having that global data set was super important because they really wanted to understand if being from different places, that geographical distance, if that messed with the accuracy of DNA barcoding.
Ah, so even within the same species, there might be tiny DNA differences depending on where they're from.
Exactly.
It's like how a New York pigeon might have slightly different DNA than a London pigeon.
Right, even though they're both still pigeons.
Still pigeons. Yeah. So did they find that where a butterfly lives messes up this whole DNA barcoding system?
Well, here's where things get really interesting. They analyzed the butterfly data using different thresholds for a DNA match. It's basically how strict their definition of a species was.
Okay, so like how close do the DNA sequences have to be for them to call it a match?
Yeah, exactly. And what they found was, even with the strictest rules, DNA barcoding got it right 97% to 99% of the time.
Wow, that's impressive. So it sounds like where they're from didn't really matter that much for the butterflies.
Well, not entirely. While the accuracy stayed high, there was a little dip in how well they could identify the butterflies as the geographical distance increased.
A little dip.
Yeah, but a small effect. But it's still significant. It just highlights that even with DNA, where a species is found can still make things a little tricky.
Interesting. So not totally foolproof, but still incredibly accurate, especially considering just how many types of butterflies are out there.
It really is remarkable.
Now, let's buzz over to the bumblebees for a minute, those fuzzy pollinators we all love. I'd imagine they're much easier to identify than those parasitic wasps, right? I mean, they've been studied a lot.
You'd think so, right? Because we've been looking at bumblebees under the microscope for a while now, the researchers thought there would be a lot of agreement between the morphological identification, you know, what they look like, and what their DNA said.
Okay, so did the results back that up? What did they find?
This is interesting.
Yeah.
They found a 71% consistency between what their looks said and what their DNA said.
71%. That's good, but not as high as I would have guessed.
Yeah, it's a bit of a head scratcher for sure.
Maybe there's more to these bumblebees than meets the eye, huh? Perhaps hidden diversity we didn't even know existed.
Now that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Even with a group we think we know pretty well, DNA barcoding is showing us that there might be more complexity than we realized.
This is getting really cool. DNA barcoding is like this superpower that lets us see things in a whole new way.
I like that. A superpower.
But okay, let's move on to those parasitic wasps. I have a feeling things are about to get a whole lot more complicated.
Oh, you're telling me. Get ready, we're about to enter the taxonomic twilight zone, the world of parasitic wasps.
Parasitic wasps, those masters of disguise in the insect world.
Masters of disguise, exactly. They're incredibly hard to tell apart, even for the pros. Imagine trying to find a specific grain of sand on a beach. That's what it's like.
So, did DNA barcoding bring some clarity to this whole identification nightmare, or did it just make things more complicated?
Well, the results really highlight how important those DNA databases are for barcoding to work well. For parasitic wasps, there was only a 26% match between the traditional way of identifying them and what their DNA said.
Wow, only 26%. That's a huge difference compared to those butterflies and bumblebees we were talking about.
It is a big difference, but not that surprising when you think about it. Parasitic wasps are so tough to identify just by looking at them, which means their DNA sequences are often missing from those reference databases.
Ah, that makes sense. It's like trying to put together a puzzle, but you're missing half the pieces.
Exactly. You might have a vague idea, but without all the pieces, it's tough to get the full picture. This really underscores just how crucial those databases are for DNA barcoding to be effective.
It's like a two-way street then, right? DNA barcoding needs those databases, but it also helps us fill in the gaps and create a more complete picture of insect biodiversity.
Precisely. It's like we're constantly building a giant library of life, one DNA barcode at a time.
Love that analogy. Okay, so we've talked about DNA barcoding, but what about this metabarcoding? It's like taking DNA barcoding to a whole new level, right?
Absolutely. Remember that analogy of a scanner that can analyze an entire stack of papers at once?
Yeah, it's like identifying every insect in a forest in one go.
That's a great way to put it. So they put metabarcoding to the test with a massive sample of over 25,000 butterflies.
Hold on. 25,000 butterflies. That's insane. What did they find?
It's incredible, right? And the results were really impressive. They were able to accurately estimate not only the number of different species in that sample, but also how common or rare each one was.
Wait, so it's not just telling you what's there, but how many of each? That's got to be crucial for conservation.
Absolutely. It's like taking the pulse of an entire ecosystem.
Okay, this technology is seriously blowing my mind. But there have to be some limitations, right? No method is perfect.
You're right. There are always caveats. For example, in this study, they only used a single leg from each butterfly for the metabarcoding analysis.
Ah, so if they had used the whole butterfly, the results might have been different.
Potentially, yeah. Using the whole butterfly might overrepresent the bigger species just because they have more DNA. It's important to keep these kinds of biases in mind when you're interpreting the data.
Makes sense. Even with all this incredible technology, you still need that human element of careful consideration and expert interpretation.
Exactly. Now, I know we've been laser focused on this one paper, but I bet you're wondering how these findings compare to what other scientists are finding. To get a broader view, the researchers looked at a whopping 99 other studies that also compared DNA barcoding and traditional morphology in insects.
99 papers? That's a lot of research. So what did they find? Was this one study an outlier, or does it match up with the bigger picture?
Get this, across all those studies, there was an 89% agreement between what DNA barcoding said and what the traditional methods said.
Wow, 89%? That's even better than I expected.
It really is impressive. It seems like in the real world, outside of just those database comparisons, DNA barcoding is even more accurate than we thought.
That's good news, but I have a feeling you're about to throw a but in there.
You know me too well. It's important to remember that this accuracy isn't the same for all insects. It really depends on the insect group.
Okay, so which groups are doing well with DNA barcoding and which ones are lagging behind?
Well, remember how we talked about flies and butterflies being relatively well studied? They had really good agreement between the two methods. Beetles, true bugs, and grasshoppers, though. Not so much. They just haven't been studied as thoroughly, and that makes a big difference.
It sounds like we've still got a long way to go before we can confidently say we've cracked the code of insect biodiversity. But these findings are definitely promising. It seems like DNA barcoding has the potential to revolutionize how we understand and protect these incredibly important creatures, especially as those databases become more complete.
I couldn't agree more. It's an exciting time to be studying insects.
It really feels like we only just scratched the surface of insect biodiversity, and DNA barcoding is like this powerful new tool that can help us explore further.
It absolutely is. And as we explore, we're realizing just how much is still out there, especially with those less studied groups, those beetles, those grasshoppers.
Right. So much to discover. We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive, from those globe-trotting butterflies to those mysterious parasitic wasps. But what does it all really mean? Why should someone listening to this, someone who might not be a scientist, care about DNA barcoding and insect identification?
That's the heart of it all, isn't it? This research isn't just for scientists tucked away in labs or those dusty journals nobody reads.
Exactly. So how can something as small as DNA have such a big impact? Paint us a picture.
Imagine this. We could identify those invasive insects that threaten our food supply, our forests, almost instantly. Or track those disease-carrying mosquitoes with incredible accuracy and speed.
Wow, that would be huge.
You would be a total game changer, not just for things like agriculture and conservation, but even for public health. DNA barcoding can truly make a difference.
It's like having this superpower to understand this hidden world around us.
Exactly. And the more we understand, the better we can protect, not just the insects, but ourselves too. Remember those cryptic species, those hidden superstars we talked about? DNA barcoding is showing us a level of diversity we never even imagined.
It's like opening up this treasure chest of new species.
And get this, you don't have to be a scientist in a fancy lab to discover them. With portable DNA sequencing becoming more accessible, anyone can join the hunt for new species.
Wait, seriously, so someone listening right now, in their backyard, they could find a brand new beetle.
You got it. And by sharing what they find with those online databases, they become part of something much bigger, this global effort to map out the diversity of life on our planet.
That's amazing. Everyone can be a scientist these days. It really feels like we're on the verge of something big here, this whole new era of scientific discovery.
I think so too. And this research really proves that we need both. The cutting-edge technology and those experts who really know their stuff, those who can identify an insect by the tiniest detail.
It's like building a bridge between the past and the future, between those traditional methods and this revolutionary DNA technology.
Exactly. And as we keep exploring, who knows what we'll find? Maybe that little insect we've always ignored holds the key to a new medicine or the answer to an environmental problem.
It really makes you appreciate the tiny creatures we share this planet with.
It does.
There's so much we don't know, so much to discover, and that's what I love about science.
Hmm.
It's a never-ending adventure, and everyone's invited. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of DNA barcoding and insect biodiversity.